The first one was speaking about introducing you to Jesus. And you notice what it said about him? Faithfulness and truth. That's who Christ is, isn't it? He's faithful. He is a faithful, loving Savior. The second song was speaking about God's unchanging hand. And dear ones, that's who God is as well. He is unchanging. He is one that you can come to that never changes. And because of that, we can have courage. We can be assured that the things that God has for us, that they're available to us. Because He never changes. And He is faithfulness and He is truth. And so what He has for us belongs to us. And so I hope you got a hold of those, because that's really what the essence is of it. I desire your prayers this evening that the Lord would help us to be able to bring out the thoughts that He's laid on our heart. I have something I want to write on the board that the Lord put on my heart. But I'd like, if somebody would, if you have a mic, I would like for someone to read Acts the 8th chapter while I'm doing that. And Acts the 8th chapter and the 26th through the 31st verse. Someone that can read that. Acts 8, 26 through 31.
And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, Arise and go toward the south, unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. And he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure, and had come to Jerusalem for to worship, was returning, and sitting in his chariot read Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, Go near and join thyself to this chariot. And Philip ran thither to him, and heard him read the prophet Isaiah, and said, Understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, How can I, except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him.
Thank you. You know, Brother Marty mentioned that this is the end of the summer. And many of us have no doubt been to one meeting after another. And we've heard many messages that no doubt have touched our lives in many ways. And I'm thankful for that. But you know, I believe that the Lord still has things for us. And I wonder this evening if there are people here that have needs that have not been met yet. Even after all those messages and all those meetings, have you ever gone to a meeting desiring something, you went home and you didn't get what you were longing for? Maybe there was something that you've been fasting and praying about and looking to the Lord about, and maybe answers that you need. And then you go home and you're like, Lord, I still don't have that. Well, this evening, I want to encourage you that God knows. He understands. And dear ones, God has a perfect plan for every one of our lives. And He does not want us to be lacking in any area. And so God has what you need. And so I want you to get a hold of that. God knows what your needs are. And we just read this, the sister read this about the story. This is a very familiar story here of the eunuch and how that he was on his way. And he had been to Jerusalem and he was on his way home, and how that the Lord sent Philip to meet him. I love this story because it illustrates so well how God works. God saw the needs that this man had before he even knew that he had them himself. And God had already provided a plan to be able to minister to his needs before he ever got to that place. And when the man came to the place where he recognized his need, and God had provided this plan for him, and the Lord sent Philip there to minister to him, and once Philip had ministered to him and he got the message that the Lord had, then the Lord took, and once his need was met, and he picked Philip up and he got him out of there. You know, it's not about us. You know, sometimes I think about people and they get their eyes on this minister or that minister. And sometimes I hear people say, well, you know, he'd be perfect if it wasn't for this. He twitches or he stutters or he does this or that. You know what? There's a reason for that. God don't want you to get your eyes on them. He doesn't want you to get your eyes on us because it's not about us. And so what God did was once he used his servant to minister to this man's needs, then he picked his servant up, got him out of there, and you notice what it said? It said, this man, the eunuch, went on his way rejoicing. You know, that's my desire this evening, is that everyone that has a need, that God will minister to your need in this meeting, and that you can go on your way rejoicing. But you know what? In order for that to happen, just like it happened in this story, there are many things that must come together and there's many conditions that must be met in order for God to be able to minister to our needs. And so with that, I'd like for us to notice some things in this passage of Scripture. The first thing that I would like for us to notice here is how specific the angel's instructions were to Philip. It says, arise and go towards the south, unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. Now, I want you to keep in mind, the eunuch wasn't there yet. When God gave this message to Philip, the eunuch wasn't there where God told him to go to. The eunuch was traveling from Jerusalem home, and the Lord had to send Philip to meet him. And so God told Philip, you go there, and the angel gave very specific instructions to him. And so, dear ones, what I want you to get a hold of from this is that God knows where you're at this evening. He knows where I'm at. And I'm not just thinking about our physical location here in Myrtle, but dear ones, God knows where each and every one of us are at spiritually. He knows those that are saved. He knows those that are unsaved. He knows those that are struggling with things in their life that they're not able to get victory over. He knows those that are becoming lukewarm, that have gotten lax in their spiritual walk with God. He knows those that are still seeking. And dear ones, God knows exactly where we're at this evening. And so, I really hope that what you get a hold of is God knows your need. He knows where you're at. And dear ones, if you're struggling with something that you have not been able to get victory over, or if there's something in your life, there's questions that you have, and you've been praying, and you're just like, Lord, I don't know what to do with this. I want to encourage you, don't give up. Because God knows what your needs are. In fact, dear ones, God knows what your needs are and my needs are before we do. Just like he did with the eunuch here. And he knows exactly how to meet those. I look at this, and I see in this story with the eunuch, I see something that God wants to get a hold to every one of us. He wants you and I to understand some valuable points about meeting the conditions for God to be able to minister to our needs. I said that God knows what we need, but dear ones, he also knows the things that are hindering us from either having the victory, from getting the answers that we need to be able to overcome whatever it is, or whatever it is that we need in life. God knows what's hindering us. And so he wants us to understand that he knows that. The second point here that I want us to notice in this passage of Scripture, is where the eunuch had been. It says here he had come to Jerusalem for to worship, and was returning and sitting in his chariot and read Isaiah the prophet. Now, the eunuch had been, he was from Ethiopia, and he had went down to Jerusalem to worship God. I don't know how far that is, I didn't look it up, but I'm sure it was a long way, especially in a chariot. And somebody might say, well, why did he go so far to worship God? And that's because that's where the temple was. That's where God had chosen to come down and to meet his people. And that's where people went to offer sacrifices to God. And where the priests were and those that were teachers of the law. And where they could hear the word ministered. And so the eunuch traveled from Ethiopia down to Jerusalem to worship the Lord. Now, he could have taken and he could have worshipped idols in his own land. I'm sure that there were probably many temples right there around Ethiopia that he could have worshipped. And I'm sure that there were people that were there in his city that were asking the question, why in the world would you go all that way to worship God? We've got all of these temples over here and we've got things just as nice as there. Why don't you just worship God here? Do you know that's why a lot of people ask of you and I today? Why do you travel so far to go to church? Why do you drive all the way across town? Or why do you drive this far when you pass this church and this church and that church? Why don't you just do that? You know there's a reason, isn't there? It's because that's where the people of God are. That's where the Lord is meeting His people, and we want to go there and to be able to worship Him. Do you know that's the way it was with the eunuch? He had a desire to worship God. Do you know the reason, Brother Marty mentioned this during prayer request about we do what we want to do and why we're here today? I know there's a lot of people that are, they've got their boats ready and they're at the lake, and I'm not saying there's anything wrong with having a boat or being at the lake. There's a lot of people that are doing what they want to do. But you know the reason that we're here tonight is because we want to be where the people of God are. We want to worship God, and we want to hear the word of the Lord, and we want to have the Lord minister to our needs. And I want you to know, dear ones, God is noticing that. He's watching what you and I are doing. He is noticing the sacrifices that you and I make in order to be in a place to where we can get from God what we want from Him. He also notices the sacrifices we make for the work of God as well. And you know, dear ones, I believe with all my heart that the eunuch was just like that. I believe that God saw the eunuch's heart. I believe He saw his desire. And the very fact that the eunuch had traveled so far tells me that he had a desire to worship the one true God. And God noticed that. I want you to get a hold of that. Because God is noticing what you and I are doing this evening as well. And it's very critical in meeting the conditions for God to provide what we need. But I want to go on here before I do this, and I want to look at the third point that I want to draw from this. And I want you to notice how it says that he was on his way home from Jerusalem. Now, I want you to think about that for just a little bit. Jerusalem was the city of David. It was the place that God had chosen to come down and fill the tabernacle, to be the temple, to be able to minister to His people. This was the place where the priests were and where sacrifices were offered and where the people went to worship God and to hear from the Word of God. This is where he'd been. Now, it says here, I want you to notice, because I look at this and I see this. The eunuch was leaving this place. He was going home. And the point that I want you to notice is that he's leaving Jerusalem and he's on his way home. It says here in this 30th verse, and Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah and said, understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, how can I, except some man should teach or guide me? Now, he needed someone to expound the scriptures to him so he could get a hold of what the prophet Isaiah was saying. But it looks like he was going in the totally wrong direction to get that, doesn't it? He was headed, what did he say? To the desert. A dry, a barren place where you would not expect to find very many people at all. And especially people that are teachers of the law and that understand prophecy. That would have been back in Jerusalem, wouldn't it? But dear ones, this is what I want you to get a hold of. Do not underestimate the faithfulness or the power of God to meet you right where you're at. Whether you're at camp meeting, whether it's your home and your congregation, whether you're at your home itself, whether you're on the job or you're on the road, wherever you're at, do not underestimate the power and the faithfulness of God to meet your needs right where you're at. But dear ones, I'm going to say something, and you'll hear me say it over and over because I want us to get a hold of this. God will meet you where you meet the conditions. Do you see, when you look at this, what I've got here is this is a road. And you look at this, and this road, and there's intersections at different points. And you know what happened? The eunuch was traveling the road. I don't know what road Philip was on or how he got there, but there was a point where they met. And that was the place where God met the, where they met, he met those conditions and God met him right there. There's other places that the Lord will meet us in our lives. But dear ones, God will meet us where we meet the conditions. And that's what I want you to get a hold of tonight. While it's true that there are some places that are, you're more inclined to have your needs met, like in a camp meeting like this, where the Spirit of the Lord is ministering and He's working and there's people that can pray with you and teach you. There's places like that. But dear ones, what I don't want you to forget is God will meet you where you meet the conditions. I don't know how long the eunuch was there in Jerusalem. When I look at this, I don't see it here where it says he was there 3 days, a week, 3 weeks. I don't know how long he was there. And I don't know why God did not meet his need while he was there in Jerusalem. I don't know why he didn't send Philip to Jerusalem to minister to him. Or why he didn't use one of the apostles that were already at Jerusalem to go over where he was at and do that. But dear ones, he didn't. Perhaps there were things that were happening that kept him from being able to see his need. Do you know Jerusalem was a big place? I'm sure there were lots of things to see and do, lots of things to distract him, and he may not have even recognized the need that he had. Perhaps there were, maybe the Lord wanted to see his desire. How much do you really want this? Or perhaps there were things that were hindering his faith. Do you know the scribes and the Pharisees were there? You know how they felt about Christ, and I am convinced that there were people there that were probably still talking about Christ and how that this was an imposter and all these things. I don't know. I don't know why God didn't meet them. But dear ones, when I look at this, it is very obvious that God knew exactly what his need was, where he would be, and how to meet that need. And dear ones, I am convinced this evening that God also knows what your need is. I am convinced that he knows where you're at spiritually, and he knows just when and how to minister to your need. And so these are the things that I believe the Lord wants us to get a hold of. I don't know this evening what your needs are, just like Philip here did not know why God sent him where he did. But I'm going to tell you, when you read this, the angel was very specific. He said, "Arise and go towards the south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert." And he arose and went. Do you know Philip could have said, "Lord, I don't understand this. I'm in a place you've been blessing. Souls have been being saved. We've been having a wonderful meeting here. Everything's going well. And you're telling me to go over here? Lord, that's a desert. There's not going to hardly be anybody over there." But he didn't. Do you notice what it says? It says he arose and he went. Dear ones, this is a very important point in meeting the conditions for God to be able to minister to our needs. Obedience is something that is critical for you and I to have our needs met. When you look at this, Lord help us. Had Philip disobeyed God, or had he even taken and said, "Lord, I want to pray about this for a while. Had he tarried?" Now think about this. The eunuch's traveling along this path. God tells him before he ever gets there, he said, "You go there." And had the eunuch been traveling and Paul sat over here and just said, "Lord, I just don't know about that. Let me pray about it. You show me something else." Do you know what? Had he tarried, the eunuch would have been on. And he would have hindered the plan of God in ministering to the eunuch's need. I'm convinced that the Lord would have taken, because it wasn't the eunuch's fault, and he would have had another plan to be able to minister to his need. But I'm also convinced that Philip, by the time that he did get there, he looked around and said, Lord, why? See, I knew I shouldn't have come. I don't know why you did this. There's nobody here. I'm just going to go back. Do you know, I'm convinced, dear ones, that there's a lot of people that misses the needs that they have in their soul. And on the other hand, there's a lot of people that miss the blessings that God has for them because they fail to obey the Lord, just like He said. Obedience is essential for you and I to be able to meet the conditions that God has for us. God knows exactly what we need and when we need it. And dear ones, there are three points in this passage of Scripture that are essential for you and I to be able to get a hold of for God to meet our needs. The first one that I mentioned was obedience. Not just Philip's obedience, but also the eunuch's obedience. Do you know, had the eunuch never gone down to Jerusalem to begin with, he would not have been in the place that God had chosen to meet his need? Do you see, if he had never been down here, he'd have never been in this place that God had chosen to do that. Now, I want you to notice that that is a key word there, that God had chosen. Sometimes people say, well, God can meet it. You said God can meet our need anywhere, and He can. But obedience, remember, is key to you and I getting our needs met. Because God will choose a place to minister to us, and if we do not obey Him, we're not going to get our needs met like God wants us to be met. Do you see, it's essential. You remember the Scripture, it says, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. Especially as you see the day approaching, or as the matter of some is, especially as you see the day approaching. Do you know there's a reason for that? It's because God has chosen a place to minister to our needs. Now, some people say, well, I don't need to go to church. I'll just turn it online and I'll do this, I'll do that. But I'm going to tell you, if God has provided a place for you to have your needs met, you better meet them there. Because obedience is critical for you and I to be able to get our needs met. And I am convinced there's many people that have failed to get their needs met because they're off over here somewhere. And they say, well, you know, I think I'll read that message. I'll listen to that message some other time. And then the Lord sent a message that is burning, and the conviction was there, or the answer was there. And it's just like, Lord, I don't know why you're not answering my needs. Do you see why obedience is essential, dear ones? I can't tell you how many times I've been in service. I've counseled with someone, and I know what their needs are. And a minister gets up, and he begins to preach. And I think, oh, Lord, you sent just exactly what they've been looking for. And I look around, and they're nowhere there. Something happened, and, well, I couldn't make it tonight. I'm going to tell you, dear ones, the devil's going to rob you of what the Lord has for you. Obedience is essential to meeting the conditions for God to be able to minister to our needs. The second thing that is essential is faith. Do you know, dear ones, it is essential that you and I have faith in God, in His plan, in what He has. Do you know, if when you look at this, the eunuch, when he was there, and the Lord sent Philip to minister to him, and he began to read the word, notice what it says, when he got to that place, and he said, well, what does hinder me from being baptized? And he said, here's water, what does hinder me? And Philip asked him, do you believe? And he said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Dear ones, we're going to have to believe and receive the message that God has for us. Because that's what the Lord has. Think about this. Had the eunuch taken and had he said, you know, I don't know about that, Philip. I just came from Jerusalem and I heard them talking about that man that you're talking about, this Christ. And I heard what they said, and they said this, and they said that, and I don't know. Besides, they also said, anybody that believes that, we're going to cast them out of the temple. And I'm just now coming and I don't want to be cast out. I don't know, Philip. Do you know it would have hindered him from meeting the conditions and receiving what God had for him? Young people, I want you to listen to something. Be careful what you listen to. And that's not just for young people, that's all of us. The enemy will hinder you from, he will hinder your faith in God. He will hinder your faith in your pastor. He will hinder your faith in the revival minister. He will hinder your faith in whoever God has sent to minister to your need. Be very careful who you listen to, because the devil is out to rob you from the blessings that God has for you. Without faith, the scripture says it's impossible for us to please him. It is essential that we believe and receive what God sends in order for you and I to meet the conditions. You see, the eunuch didn't know who Philip was at all, I'm sure. But God sent his servant. We need to recognize the voice of God when he's talking to us, and we need to accept it in order to meet the conditions for God to minister to our needs. I tell you, dear ones, we're living in a world where there's so much contention, there's so much strife, there's so much tailbearing, there's so many things. People's minds are filled with things, and it hinders them from meeting the conditions that God has for them to believe and receive what God has for them. May the Lord help us this evening. The third point that I want us to get a hold of here is desire. And I want to ask you, how much do you want what you're seeking for? How bad do you want it? When you look at this, dear ones, it takes a desire for God's looking. I mentioned this earlier and I said, I want you to take note of this. God sees what you're doing here tonight. He sees the sacrifices that you're making. And dear ones, God knows the desire. I think about the king. You remember when he was facing an enemy and the prophet came to him, and what did the prophet tell him? He said, take those arrows, and he said, strike them on the ground. And what did the king do? He tapped them. 3 times on the ground, I believe it was. I just can see this heart. Okay, well, I don't know why you want me to do this. I don't want to break my arrows, so I'm just going to tap them on the ground. And what did the prophet say? He was wroth with him. He said, you should have taken and you should have beat the ground. He said, then your enemy would have been destroyed. But as it was, he didn't. Dear ones, I'm going to tell you, God sees your desire this evening. He sees the passion that you have for the things of God. What did the scripture say in one place? It said over there, it says, the heart panteth. As the heart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my heart after thee, O God. How much do you want it? I look at this. Dear ones, look at this 30th verse. It says, and Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah. Did you notice what he was doing on the way home? He was reading the scriptures. Even after being at Jerusalem for as long as he had, he was still desiring something from God. You see, his passion, his desire was for something of God. I'm sure he was tired. How do you feel after being in camp meeting for a week? Tired? Exhausted? Maybe a little overloaded? Lord, I just can't take any more. Do you know we're human? God understands that. But dear ones, do not let that squelch your desire for the things of God. Do not let the enemy take and convince you when you go home from meeting, well, it wasn't for you. The Lord didn't give you what you needed. Dear ones, God knows what you need, and he will meet you when you meet the conditions. So what I want you to understand, dear ones, is God knows, but God is also looking at our desire. Am I just going to go to service and am I going to say, Lord, you do it, and you do it this way, and then I'll get it? We're going to have a desire for the things that God has for us in order to meet the conditions where God can come down and minister to us. Sometimes you and I are going to be in desert places as well. Do you know the Lord will let you go into desert places? Spiritually speaking, I'm talking about. You say, I just love being at Monarch and Myrtle and these camp meetings and the Spirit of the Lord coming by, and that's where I want to stay. But you know the Lord will let you go to places where they're desert places? And there's a reason for that. Because that's where your obedience, your faith, and your desire are put to the test. What did the writer say over there in Deuteronomy? In Deuteronomy, the 4th chapter and the 29th verse, he says, "But if from thence thou shalt seek the Lord thy God, thou shalt find Him if thou seek Him with all thy heart and all thy soul." Dear ones, I'm going to say it again. God will meet you where you meet the conditions. When you seek Him with all of your heart and you obey Him and you have faith in what He sends you and you believe it and you receive it, God will meet your condition. Remember the songs that they sang? Faithfulness and truth. The unchanging God. Dear ones, there's nothing that God has promised in His Word that you cannot have if you meet the conditions. I hope you'll be encouraged after this service tonight. I know sometimes the devil works hard to convince us it's just not for you. You just cannot have it. But dear ones, what I want you to get a hold of is that God never changes, that salvation is available for us, and everything that the kingdom of God has belongs to us. I'll never forget when I was down with my heart attacks and after I'd been through a lot of things, and one day and the Lord came down. The devil had been fighting me so hard and you just might as well give it up. The Lord's forsaken you. The saints have prayed and all these things. And I was weak. I was weary. And I just seemed like I couldn't go on. And I told the Lord, I said, "Lord, even though Satan has tried to convince me that you've forsaken me, I love you and I'm going to trust you." And I'm going to tell you, dear ones, God met me. He met me in a special way. And when He came down and He flooded my soul and the Lord just let me know, He said, "I have claimed you for my own." I'm going to tell you, dear ones, those words meant so much to me. And the Lord began to open the Scriptures to me and He began to tell me about the Scriptures of heirs and joint heirs with Christ. And I remember laying there and saying, "Lord, I'm not worthy. I'm not worthy to be a brother to Christ. I'm not worthy to be someone that is an heir with Him." But I'm going to tell you, dear ones, God let me know. He said, "Everything that heaven has belongs to you." Dear ones, that promise is for you tonight. Don't listen to the devil when he tries to discourage your heart. Don't listen to him when he says there's just no use. I'm going to tell you, dear ones, everything that heaven has to offer, it's for you and it's for me when we meet the conditions. And when we meet the conditions, dear ones, God will minister to our needs. I want you to notice here, the eunuch, God saw his desire. And God saw his desire to understand truth. And that his intention was to get something from God. And so God met him. And notice what it says here. Philip opened his mouth and he began to share the Scriptures with him. And he preached unto him Jesus. And when he did, and they came along to the water, and the eunuch said, "What doth hinder me?" He said, "What doth hinder me from being baptized?" And Philip said, "If thou believest with all thine heart," he said, and I'll put my own words, "there's nothing hinder you. You can be baptized." And then you look at this, and he said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." And Philip baptized him. And what happened? When they came out, the Lord took Philip away, and it said, and the eunuch went on his way rejoicing. Oh, dear ones, I'm going to tell you, that's the burden of my heart tonight, is that every one of us in here and everyone that hears this message, whether it's online or whatever else, that they can know and they can get a hold of what God has and that they can go on their way rejoicing. We do not have to be cast down and defeated by the enemy of our soul, dear ones. God met him and he satisfied the longing of his soul. And when he did, dear ones, the eunuch went on rejoicing. And I want to tell you, God knows the needs of your soul this morning, this evening, and He wants you to be able to do the same thing. But just like the eunuch, the question that we have to ask ourselves is, what doth hinder me? What does hinder me? Do you know, dear ones, I wrote down hinder in here, what Webster says, and it says to make it difficult for someone to do something or for something to happen. To make it difficult for you to do something or for something to happen. I'm sure every one of us here has had hindrances in our life, temporally and spiritually. Do you know, dear ones, some of those hindrances are nothing but impositions of the devil. There are things that he does to try to hinder you from being able to be in the place that God would have you to be, where God can, you can meet the conditions and God can fulfill your needs. It can be accusations. It can be feelings. Oh, I just don't feel saved. I just feel discouraged. Do you know those are impositions of the devil? It can be feelings physically. Oh, I've got a headache tonight. I don't think I'm going to go to prayer meeting. I'm just so tired. I've got this old headache. I'm just going to stay home. Now, I understand sometimes there are headaches that are so bad you cannot even motivate. And I understand that. But I'm going to tell you, if you watch, the devil will give you a headache every time that God has a blessing for you. And it'll keep you out of service. It'll keep you from being the place that God has for you. Dear ones, what I want you to get a hold of from this is those are impositions of the devil. We need to recognize it. We need to take a stand against it. And we need to press against it in order for you and I to be in the place where God can meet our needs. That's the only way we're going to meet the conditions. We're going to have to press against that. Because if we don't and we just, oh, I just can't do it. Oh, I just feel so discouraged and I'm not. I'm going to tell you, dear ones, you'll feel that way the rest of your life. Because God, Satan does not want you to be in the place where God can minister to your needs. So what we have to do is recognize, is this an imposition of the devil or is this something else? You know, there's other hindrances sometimes that we face that are our own doing. It's our fault. And we have to recognize that as well. And we have to take care of that in order for you and I to get to this place. Do you know the scriptures are written for our learning? When you go through the scriptures and you go from the beginning to the end, there is example after example after example. There's instruction after instruction that teaches us how to walk in this way of holiness in a way that's pleasing to the Lord. There is instructions that will help you and I to know this is the way, walk you in it. And you and I are going to have to follow those. There's no way that I have time tonight to go through every one of those. There's enough in here that touches the rest of our lives. Every situation that you and I face, there's instructions within the Word of God that you and I must meet in order to meet the conditions for God to be able to bless our souls. I'm gonna just refer to three of them, and then I'm gonna try to sit down, because I want you to understand that God will meet us where we meet the conditions, and I want you to understand that God has given you something to know what those conditions are. You know, somebody said, "Well, Brother Curtis, you've said that over and over, but how do I know when I've met the conditions? When I've measured to the Word of God?" Let me go to a scripture here. I want to get this one. This gets right down where we're living. It's in 1 Peter, the 3rd chapter, in the 7th verse. You know what? Peter was giving some instructions here. And he said in this 7th verse, he says, "Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not what? Hindered." Do you see, here's one of the hindrances that are hindering people from getting their prayers answered. When you look at this, as you go through the scriptures, God was very specific when he created man and woman. When he created them, he gave very specific instructions of how that he wanted this man and woman to conduct themselves. And all through the scriptures, there's one after another that alludes to what my role is as a husband, what my wife's role is as a wife, what my role is as a father, what her role is as a mother. You see, and I'm using us, so I'm not picking on anybody else. But you see, all of those are in here. And so God gave very clear instructions of how we're to conduct ourselves. But I'm going to tell you, in our world today, marriage, the home, has drifted far from what God ordained. It's drifted far from what the Scriptures teach of what a husband and a wife, a mother and a father, and what a family is supposed to be. And I'm going to tell you, it's hindering. It's not only just destroying marriages. It's not only destroying homes. But I'm going to tell you, it's hindering people from getting their prayers answered as well. Do you notice what he said here? He said that your prayers be not hindered. Now, I'm going to tell you, this is not popular in our world today. I want to go over here now and I want to look at another scripture in Ephesians, the 5th chapter. Wives, I'm not picking on you. This goes to the husbands as well, but I want to touch on this. In Ephesians, the 5th chapter, in the 22nd verse, it says, "Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let their wives be to their own husbands in everything." Now, I'm going to tell you, dear ones, that is not popular in our world today. Do you know the women's liberation movement has worked hard for many years to try to cover up this commandment that God gave? And I'm going to tell you what it's done. It's caused havoc. It's caused confusion in our society today that it goes beyond what we can imagine. It has wrecked the plan of God. There is, in our society today, dear ones, people do not want to be submissive to anyone. To their companion, to their parents, to their pastor, to their leaders in their community, to the leaders in our country, to God. And it all comes back down because people have gotten away from the Word of God. Do you see? He said that your prayers be not hindered. Now, I said this is not just for the wives. Do you know this also goes to the husbands? There's scriptures down here. When you look at this, it talks about, if I can find one here, in Ephesians, the 5th chapter, in the 25th verse, it says, "Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it." Do you know when we counsel young couples that are getting married, my wife and I will tell the young man, you're in a very, very responsible position. You know, dear ones, while God instituted commandments and teachings in His Word to bring about peace and order in the home, in the family, in the church, in society, He also looks very, very particular on how we do it. You say, well, I'm the husband and I'm the head of the house. I'm going to tell you, dear ones, and what we tell young men is you're in a very responsible position. Because I'm going to tell you, when your wife submits to you, the decisions that you make, you are personally going to answer to those before God. Yes, you two, twain, are one. But when she submits, God has given us wives to help us to make wise and balanced decisions. And I'm going to tell you, you would be wise to heed her counsel and advice. Because I'm going to tell you, when she does submit to you, then you are going to give an account before God for how you handle that and the decisions that you make. You are going to be responsible for your home and the decisions that are made in there. Yes, she has to submit by the word of the Lord, but I'm going to tell you, you better be very careful because you are going to be the one that's going to answer for that and those decisions that you make. I said when I started this gets right down to where we live. You know the reason I'm doing this, dear ones? Because I am convinced this is one of the areas that is hindering people from getting their prayers answered and God meeting their needs. You say, Lord, I went to prayer, I went to service and I prayed and the preachers preached and I did all these things. And Lord, you still have not given me an answer. You still have not worked this out. And I'm going to tell you, if you're not getting your needs met, you need to go back to the Word of the God. And you need to look at it because these are things that are hindering people from getting their needs met. I said that was three things. That's one of them. There's another one that I want to look at here. And we'll find that one here in Matthew, the 6th chapter. In Matthew, the 6th chapter, the 14th and 15th verse, he said, "For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses." Do you know what's going to hinder us from getting our trespasses forgiven? It's because we fail to meet the conditions, isn't it? Do you know, dear ones, I am convinced that there are many people that have not met the conditions and they haven't had their needs met because somewhere along the line they stopped instead of going all the way of what God wanted them to do. He said here, he said, if we don't forgive, we're not going to be forgiven. Now, I want to read you the definition to forgive. It says to give up resentment of or claim to requite for. To grant relief from payment. To cease to feel resentment against. It's basically to completely relinquish any claim we had against the one that we've forgiven. Now, I'm going to tell you, dear ones, that gets close. Because if you and I are taking and we're holding something on someone that we have said we've forgiven, we haven't truly forgiven. If we're requiring something of them, I forgive you, but you're going to have to do this and this and this. I'm going to tell you, you better examine your forgiveness. Because when you forgive, it's just like God does to us. And what does He do with our sins? He says He casts them as far as the east is from the west. And what does He do? He remembers them no more. You said, "Brother Curtis, I cannot help but remember this." You better ask God to help you to let it go. Because if you are holding something on someone, I'm going to tell you, it'll keep you from meeting the conditions and God will not meet your needs. You say, "Lord, I prayed for this and I can't understand why I cannot get victory over this." You see what I'm saying, dear ones? What I want us to do is go back to the Word of God. Those songs said He is faithfulness and truth. He is the everlasting God. He never changes. And dear ones, what I want us to get a hold of is in spite of what the devil tells you or anyone else says, every promise of God is yea and amen to them that believe. When we meet these conditions, we can receive what God has for us. There's a third thing and then I'm going to sit down. You'll find this one over here in Joshua the 7th chapter. Joshua the 7th chapter is speaking here about Achan. I won't read all of this. You can read it in Joshua 7 and 10 through 12. This is a very familiar scripture. As all of these scriptures that I've just talked about, there's not a one of us in here don't know what the Bible says. I'm persuaded about forgiveness, about husband and wife relationships. And I'm convinced that, dear ones, we understand what the Bible teaches about this as well. Achan, God gave specific commandments to Israel to not partake of the accursed thing. He said, "Don't do it." And what Achan do? When no one else was looking, he went over and he took these things and he dug a hole and he buried them. Nobody knows anything about it. But what happened? It kept him and it kept his family. It kept Israel from meeting the conditions that God had. And when they got over here, God didn't answer their prayer. There was about, 30 people that lost their lives? The people's hearts melted within them. You know, sometimes, dear ones, my heart is grieved when I hear people say God's not answering prayer. He's not healing. He's not saving. He's not doing this. And I want to say, where are you getting that from? Because that's not in the Word of God. You see, what happened was God didn't answer prayer for them. He didn't meet their needs because they had not met the requirements that He gave. And I'm going to tell you, dear ones, God has taken over and over and over in the Scriptures and warned you and I about the accursed thing. He said, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. And you can go right on through the scriptures, and there's a whole host of things that God has put his finger on. He said, you better leave it alone. But I'm going to tell you, dear ones, if you don't leave it alone, you say nobody else knows anything about it. God does. And when you begin to wonder why the Lord's not dealing with me, and why he's not answering my prayers, and why when I go to the altar, I can't get victory in my soul, I want to take you back to the Word of God. When you meet the conditions, dear ones, God will meet your needs. Do you see? These are just three things that I've mentioned in the Word of God, and it's not something that any of us didn't know. But dear ones, those three things, the Word tells us, it will hinder us from being in the place and getting our prayers answered. And so my burden tonight, dear ones, is that you recognize that God is faithful. He is true. He never changes, and he has exactly what you need. He knows where you're at spiritually. He knows what you're doing. He knows everything about your life. And dear ones, he knows the things that are hindering you. And so my exhortation to you tonight, my request is that you begin to ask the Lord, Lord, the most important question you can ask, Lord, what doth hinder me from receiving what you have for me? It may not be any of these things that I've talked about tonight. I just mentioned three things because I know they're hindering many souls in our world today. Yours may be totally different. But dear ones, if there's something that you're not meeting the conditions on, then I want to challenge you. This is the place to take care of it. Lord, I see what you've been trying to do. And Lord, I'm sorry. And I ask you to forgive me. And Lord, I'm willing to do whatever it is that you have asked of me. I'm going to tell you, dear ones, when you do that, and God sees that you're sincere. Remember, he saw this man. He knew how sincere he was. And when he saw that, he met him in a place that may have seemed so unlikely. But I'm going to tell you, God was faithful to minister his needs. Oh, dear ones, we're just starting out the meeting. I don't know what the Lord's going to touch on in all these services, but I can tell you this, God knows what you need. And I want to encourage you tonight, meet the conditions. Because when you do, you can do like the eunuch did and you can go away rejoicing. You can have peace in your soul. You can have victory over whatever it is you've been struggling with over and over and over in your life. You can get answers to the questions that you have been struggling with that you, Lord, I just don't know. I'm going to tell you, when you meet those conditions, God will meet you where you meet them. Appreciate your attention tonight.